factors that hold a person back in their avodas Hashem, even when they are already on a good track. And I just want to review the story that I told yesterday, because I told it just in 2 minutes, and to just like make it clearer. We told the story of when a person said a word of Leitzanus. And you're in a room where everything has been taken seriously, and people feel that they're growing from the Devar Torah that's being said, or the statement that's being made, or the idea that's being shared, and then someone throws in a word of Leitzanus, which takes away all the power and the kvedut, or the kavod, of what is being spoken about. How do you treat that? And then also together with that, when you are thinking about doing something which is important, and then in your mind pops up an idea which ridicules that which you're doing. And you're thinking, I'm keen on doing a good thing, and then suddenly in your mind comes a thought of, maybe I shouldn't bother doing. Some Yetzer Hara-oriented thought comes along that takes away the severity, the seriousness, the empowerment of what you're doing. How do you approach that second thought that comes? When you're all keen on taking on something new in Avodas Hashem, or being committed to something in Avodas Hashem, and then you hear this voice popping up, it could be a voice of a specific person who said it, or it could just be a thought that just comes to your mind, which is against what you're trying to build. How do you relate to that thought? What Leitzanus does is that it takes something severe and it undermines it. Imagine if you have a big balloon, right? And so Leitzanus just like pops the balloon, right? It lets all the air out of what's holding up the whole structure. So the way that you can combat Leitzanus, even if it's just in your mind, is by labeling it as Leitzanus, by giving it a label. You put it in a box, and it is no longer able to harm the severity of the matter. So in the story that I told of Daniel Cohen, that when he said to this negative individual, he said to him, that was Leitzanus, and the man just said, yes it was, then it took away the power of that Leitzanus affecting what Rav Daniel Cohen was saying. Because it put it in a box, it labeled it, and now its power was removed. Because the power of Leitzanus is only when it's entered the severe thing and it's draining it. And you're not aware that that's what's happening, and it just takes away all the power. But the moment you put Leitzanus back in its place, and you say, that's what it is Leitzanus, and then it's acknowledged that it is Leitzanus, it doesn't harm you. So let's say you're thinking about doing a good thing. You're thinking about, let's say, waking up earlier for Shacharis. You're thinking about taking on a new project and learning. You're thinking about a good thing. And then a thought of Leitzanus comes to you, where you think some negative thought of why it's not a good idea. You have to check. Sometimes it is a good idea. Maybe you'll be, you know, you have to check. Maybe it's a good point that's being made. But once you see that, you know, it's coming from some person who you don't really respect, who's saying some sort of a phrase, or you can tell that it's just taking away your energy and enthusiasm, then you just label it. And you say, that's a word of ridicule. That's a word of cynicism. That is sarcasm. And just by saying that is sarcasm, you've taken away the sting. You've taken away the way that sarcasm works is that you weren't expecting it. You weren't expecting it. You're thinking someone's going to say, like for example, Kalev. So when Moshe Rabbeinu, when Yeshua comes, and when Kalev comes and is saying the speech of why it's a good land. Sorry, start again. When the Meraglim came and they're saying why it's a bad land, and then Kalev speaks up, then people are willing to hear him because they don't know which way it's going to go. And he caught them by surprise. You know what I want to say about Moshe? And they say, yeah, go on. What are you going to say about Moshe? Do you know what he did for us? And then he goes and reiterates all the good things. What catches people's attention is the element of surprise. Like, I thought you were going to say something, you said something else. What Leitzanus does is that you think you're going to say something and then it like drains the thing. But once you are aware of it, let me first give a heading what I'm speaking about now. I am going to ridicule everything that was just said. And I don't do that. Don't make fun of things. Okay, fine. Now I'm gonna ridicule you now. You ready? No, it doesn't have the same sting. Once you've like listed, once there was a presidential debate in America, and the one who just finished and the other one was about to get up. So the one who just finished said, and I just want to say that I happen to notice the notes here of the person who's about to speak, and it's really, really funny. You're going to be cracking up. You're going to have stitches on your side. So get ready for a really amusing speech. Are you ready for it? It's going to be the best speech you've ever, ever heard. And then the guy gets up and he was known not to be such funny. Right? So then everyone like took that as a ridiculing. Once you've labeled something, then it's in a box. It doesn't have the same effect anymore. A person can't hear it in a natural way. They hear it in the context of the box it's been put in. So Leitzanus only has its effect when it's just a sting of a snake that's penetrating through. But once it's been given a label, then you see it in, for what it is, and it doesn't have that effect anymore. So if you have a negative thought that comes afterwards and is harming and you can see that it's sapping your energy, just by labeling it and saying is, that's an interesting thought, but that's not healthy for me. That's a thought that's not going to benefit me. That's a thought of ridiculing something. That's a thought of Leitzanus. I don't want to have that. Just by giving it the label, it takes away the sting. As opposed to if you just leave it in the air, it will continue to affect Chas v'Shalom. Masha halev mitorero mitpael bat somi de roto shmo inyanim she'iru lecheshbon of yishu shemasim v'koach haleitzanus yipola kol la'aretz. A person can make one word of ridiculing and everything falls to the ground. V'lo yasu baroshem klal. And all those positive words won't have any impact on you at all. V'lo mipnei chul shata inyanim. A person who makes fun doesn't even take away the severity of the matter. You might still think that the matter is very important, but somehow you just won't feel connected to it anymore. Somehow you'll just feel like it's you can't take it as seriously. Not because you don't understand and not because you weren't emotionally attached to it initially. That's the power of Leitzanus. It's one prick of a needle in a balloon that can take away all of the building that a person has and everything that's severe. I was going to tell a story, but I realized that story would probably, the side of the Leitzanus would be stronger than the side of the building. I realized it's probably more losing more than the gain. So I decided to leave it. Hinei Navi Yeshaya ya tzoveach al ze kekruchia. He would call out, ki haya roe sheze haya ma shelo haya maniach makom letoch chotav, sheyasu roshem. He would say to the people, be honest, people be yashar. Listen clearly to what's being said. Because he knew that the Leitzanus that were people had in their minds was preventing them from hearing. It was taking away the hope of people who had sinned. I remember once that Rabbi Tatz, I used to listen to Rabbi Kiva Tatz in England, used to go to his shiurim on a Wednesday night on Golders Green Road. And I remember that there was a line he used to say, which was very clever because he's a brilliant speaker, because he was speaking to a non-religious audience. And a non-religious audience, broadly non-religious audience, then they have a lot of like Leitzanus in their mind against Torah thoughts, right? Based on their worldview in general. So then sometimes he could say something which is very empowering, but because they have a preconceived notion of Jewish values in a different way, so then they would not see it as clearly as what the way he was saying it, because they have their sting in their mind. So he had this very, very simple line that he would say when he was introducing something. He would say, if you can open your heart and not be difficult about this matter, then you'll be able to understand, and then he would go into it. Which is a brilliant line. Because the natural way of a person is if they have a preconceived notion about a particular Torah concept, then the moment the rabbi starts speaking about it, like let's say he's talking about gender, right? So the role of the man and the role of the woman. They immediately think, oh yeah, according to the Jewish value, a woman has to be barefoot in the kitchen. That's immediately what pops their mind. Right, they don't think in an honest way. So, but if you want, and that's Leitzanus. That's Leitzanus because it's a preconception which is not well thought through or developed. It's just like making fun of what the Jewish view must be. So, by him saying, if you could open your heart to listen and not be difficult about this matter, you'll be able to understand. By saying that line, it enables people then to put that Leitzanus on the side. So, yeah, I know, I shouldn't be being difficult now. And then the Leitzanus pops their mind and they say, that's what he was saying, don't be difficult about this matter. Just like listen to him openly. And then they're able to do it because he's done the same thing as labeling. He's labeled any thought that might come to their mind as, I want you to be intellectually honest. I want you to be with an open heart and listen to what I have to say. Which means any thought that you have, I've labeled and put aside. If it's a thought which is not honest, right? If they're thinking a thought which is honest, they'll still feel comfortable and say, my heart's open and I still have a question, Rabbi. It doesn't take away their ability to think in a straight way. But it does push away their silly thoughts, their petty thoughts. It does enable you to push those thoughts aside. So that's the same idea as labeling it and putting it away. If you're not difficult about the matter and you're thinking honestly, and that's what the Navi Yeshaya was so upset about, that people weren't able to hear the Tochacha. As he said, Va'ata al titlotetsu pen yachzeku misrechem. So he also, I guess Rabbi Tatz also, like him, he gave them a framework to look at what he was saying through. He would say, my please, Raboisai, I know there's Leitzanus here, but please, if you don't be difficult here, if you could put the Leitzanus aside for a moment, can you do that? Can you put the translator? Can we can just talk man to man? And then you can hear more clearly what I have to say. And by preempting with that, then people are more mature. And they're able to hear it in a more yashar and honest way. Okfar gazru chazal in avodah zora daf yud ches shahaleitz mevi yisurin alav. Wow. If someone ridicules, if someone makes fun of things that are severe, then he brings upon himself yisurin. In what way? V'hu ma shekatuv atzmo mevaer in mishlei nachonu leleitzim shfatim. This is something which is very logical, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make the world, that someone who does Leitzanus will get Yisurin. I'm going to say in my own words and we'll read it inside. This is a very, very important point. We're over here. Our objective is to come close to Hashem, which is over there. L'dugma, right? Figuratively. There's two ways to get there. The easy way, the pleasant way, let's say, the pleasant way, and the hard way. The pleasant way is HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout your life will give you opportunities of goodness where you can note all the good, pay attention to it, label it to enable it to have a place in your heart. And as you notice the good and attribute it to Hashem, you'll feel close to Him and close to Him and close to Him. I was zochet to be Jewish. I was zochet to be a Ben Torah. I was zochet to come to Yeshiva. I was zochet to be learning Yevamos. Who learns Yevamos? We are zochet to learning Yevamos. And the more you acknowledge and appreciate the goodness in all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you, then you become closer and closer and closer to Him. That's the pleasant path of how to come close to Hashem. Actively acknowledge all the good in your life and attribute it to Hashem. Acknowledge and attribute. You acknowledge all the good and you attribute it back to Hashem. You'll come closer and closer and closer to Hashem. That's option number one. Option number two is not abandoning you. Option number two is, if you won't come close to Hashem in this path, then Hashem will bring you close to Him in this path, but it's much less pleasant. Like it says by Yaakov Avinu, that either He will come down to Mitzrayim on a chariot accompanied by a lot of wealth, or the Medrash says, if He wouldn't have come down that way, there was a bris made in Masorim that it had to happen, He will come down in chains as a slave. But He chose the good path, and He was able to come down with glory. But otherwise, He still would have gone down. It was part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. Hashem's plan is that we will be close to Him. And we get to choose which way. Initially, just like when you go to war, you always offer peace first. And only if the people don't accept the peace, then you go to war against them. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always initiate goodness. He will send us blessing. And if we acknowledge the blessing, and we appreciate it and acknowledge that it comes from Him, we attribute it back to Him, then we will continue to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a healthy way. If a person doesn't, or even a person does, but only partially, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send Yisurin. Because Yisurin, there's no two ways about it. You always think about God when there's Yisurin. People who never think about God when all the blessing comes their way, when they're suffering, they say, where's God? Why isn't God helping me? But why do you remember in God? You know, everyone knows the famous mashal of the guy on the roof. You know, everyone knows the mashal of the roof. Right? So like a person's suffering, suddenly you look up and say, who is throwing things down on me? Like when all the money was coming to them, people don't acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you're forced to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu when... So that path is your choice. You can either choose the pleasant path of constantly throughout your life acknowledging all the goodness from Hashem, come close to Him, or you can choose not to acknowledge the good path, and then Hashem will tie you in chains, kivyachol, send you surin, and through the yusurin, the person will eventually... Now, someone who's a late, not only are they not acknowledging the good, but they're actively pushing away the good. That can't be from Hashem. That's random and it happens to everyone. And anytime a good thing happens to them, they always find a way to make fun of the fact that it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're actively pushing away the acknowledgement. And therefore, not only will there be Yisurim, but the initial Yisurim won't help. Because the initial Yisurim, they'll attribute it to this random factor and this random factor. And the lates will find ways to make fun of all the Yisurim that's happening to him. There'll be a point where it'll be so harsh, he won't be able to anymore. The Yisurim will get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. At that point, there's no way to attribute this to anything else. It has to be that it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mashallah ma'adav adome. Imagine you have a plug. You have a socket. No socket. Imagine you would have a socket in a wall. And I see Yisrael Moshe taking a long, thin metal wire. And he's walking towards the socket. So I say, Yisrael, don't go there. And if he listens to me at this point, it's all good. But he doesn't listen at this point. He keeps going towards the socket. And I say, Yisrael, put it down. So that was already a little harsher. Did you hear my tone of voice? Harsh. And then he doesn't listen. So then I shout to him and I say, Yisrael, drop it. And he still doesn't listen. And he's still going. So then I run over to him and I grab it out of his hand. Or I try to grab it out of his hand. But then he starts fighting with me and he's trying to get it into the socket. And so then I slap his hand and he drops it. And he looks to me and he says, Abba, why do bad things happen to good people? Like, what did I do wrong? I'm just trying to experiment in science. Isn't that an encouraged thing to do? But you see that initially the way of encouraging a child will always be peaceful and calm and pleasant. And then if he doesn't pick up the message, it gets a little more intense. And if he doesn't pick up the message, it gets more intense. And eventually when it's about to be dangerous, then suddenly it gets very intense. And then he has no choice but to listen. And that's the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'll always treat us initially in a pleasant way and send us goodness. And if we respond to that, then that will be the way we'll connect to him. But a late doesn't respond to that. He doesn't even respond to the light Yisurim. He only responds to intense Yisurim. If that's what it takes, then he chose. And that's why it says in Mishlei, Nochonu Laleitzim Shvatim. What is prepared for the Leitzim is judgment. And it's logical that it should be that way. Because if a person is able to awaken himself to things that are positive, and he's able to take messages from things that are negative, then Einu Tzuruch Shrit Yaser Gufa. He doesn't need to suffer. He won't need to get to that point that for him to learn the message, to come close to Hashem, he has to go through suffering. Kikfar Yashuv Michata Av Blizeh. Small thing. You know, the Gemara says that you're supposed to see when there's events happening of Yisurin to other nations, the Jewish people are supposed to take a message from that and do tshuva. Meaning it sounds like the Gemara is saying that Hashem won't bring the suffering on us immediately, but rather he'll bring it far away from us. And it's our role to pick up the message from it happening far away before it even needs to get to our area. Mikoch Hirhorei Tshuva, Shivaladu Bilvavo. Because someone is not a late, immediately something will happen. He'll say, what can I learn from this? How can I grow? And thoughts of tshuva will come to his heart. Aledei mashi kra, because he'll read things. Or yishma mina musur tohochot, he'll hear a musur shmuz. He'll hear about other people who are going through things, and he'll immediately pick up the message. I know I also need to work on myself. Achaleitzim, the people who ridicule, she'ena mitpalim mina tohochot, they don't get excited. They don't work on themselves from having heard something. Because they're always ridiculing everything they hear. Ein lem tikkun ela shvatim. The only hope for them is to have actual suffering that they can't deny. I've probably told the story before, but it's a great story. Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer was giving a Musa Shmuz. And he was talking about honoring your wife. And Rav Ari Levin stepped in to speak to him, but saw there was a Musa Shmuz going on, didn't want to miss the opportunity, and sat in the back of the shiur and was listening to Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer giving a Musa Shmuz about honoring your wife. Now it's well known that Rav Ari Levin was the king of honoring his wife. There are so many stories about how well he treated his family. So he was sitting in the back, and the Issa Zalman Meltzer was giving like Musa about treating wife properly. And he goes up to Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer in the end, and he says to him, thank you so much for what you said. I really needed to hear it. He says, I know that you added in those lines just when I walked in, especially to like put me in my place, and I appreciate it. And Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer says, no, no, no. I was talking to everyone else in the room except for you. Not you. You are fine in this area. Everyone else except for you. He says, no, you're just being kind to me. I know I need to work on this matter. Now, everyone else in the room said, oh, he's probably talking to Ari Levin. It's like, he's not talking to me. He's probably talking to everyone else. He should really, that guy, he should really hear what that rabbi's saying. He really is. I heard him once through the door, how he spoke to his wife. He really, I hope he was listening to what that rabbi said, because of Musa, I think it was directed towards him. And the way of the late is to deflect any Musa that comes to him. The way of a tzaddik is someone who, even if it's not really directed towards him at all, and it's directed towards someone else, but he'll pick up that sensitivity and he'll grow from that Musa. So the late sim won't hear it. Kafi chomer achet v'toldotav. And according to more how severe the thing is that the person did, and they're not picking up the messages, then in accordance to that, because Hashem wants to hold on to them, then hichmira shofet amiti bonshod, and then the suffering will get worse and worse. It's all out of love. When I slapped my son Yisrael Moshe's hand at the end, it was out of love. I care for him. I don't want him to get electrocuted. That's why I'm doing it. It's out of love. Right? But if it gets that far, then he's not listening to me to a certain point. I have no choice but to express my love for him by being harsh and being tough. Not out of my will. I would be much happier if he would listen to me earlier on in the game and we wouldn't have to get to that stage. But I love him so much that I'm not just going to say, I don't care, go electrocute yourself.
No, go ahead. It's fine. Go ahead, educate yourself. See, you want to see? Go. Try it. See what happens. Go. It's a good experience for you. Go, you try it out. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to the Nachash. He said, I'm not interested in you. Carry on. Do whatever you want. I don't want to have any relationship with you. A loving father will stop his son forcefully from running into the road because he cares. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to listen initially to all the good that he does to us. But if we don't, he loves us. He's not willing to let us go. So he'll hold on to us, whatever it takes. Someone who's elate doesn't hear the message initially or even afterwards until it gets so severe that he has no choice but to listen. And that's what we learn in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. Kasheh ha-leitzanus. Being elate is very severe. In what respect? Shetchirato yusurin, that at the beginning it starts lighter, only with yusurin, v'sofo kliya. But at the end it wipes a person out. Shneemar pein yichzeku mosreichem, ki chala v'nechratza shamati. That was the end of section 2. So just to review in one sentence, we're going through the three elements, the three factors that hold a person back from authentic Avodah Hashem. We're talking about people who already are on a good path of Avodah Hashem. But even when they're on a good path of Avodah Hashem, there are three things that can knock them out. The first thing is where a person gets so bogged down and occupied in all technical and external things of the world that they don't leave an openness and a menuchas and nefesh to think about how to continue their path in Avodah Hashem. And that slowly but surely takes them out of the world. The second part is, even if it's clear to them what the path of Avodah Hashem is, but if they allow leitzanus from within or they accept it from without, then it will deflate them. The way to respond to that is to acknowledge it and put it aside. That was leitzanus, I'm not allowing that to affect me. The third one, which Be'ez Hashem will do tomorrow, is the social factor. The pressure of being in a chevra and how being in a particular chevra affects a person even if he doesn't want it to affect him. Be'ez Hashem, we will learn tomorrow and hopefully we'll finish the chapter, which is the end of Zihirut. And then Thursday there's Rosh Hashiva Musar. Sunday and Monday I'm not here. I'm going to be in England. Tuesday we'll continue with Hashem with Zerizos. So tomorrow we're going to finish the Perek, and then Tuesday we'll start with